If we could only really live the Beatitudes. And by that I mean a knowledge that we need God, comfort, meekness, seeking righteousness, mercy, purity, peacemaking, and a willingness to follow God no matter what. That's at least my kind of little look at what the Beatitudes mean. But I'd like to walk kind of slowly through Jesus' words from Matthew 5, 1 through 12 this morning. These verses, as I said before, are part of the larger Sermon on the Mount, which goes from Matthew 5 to Matthew 7. And we're going to spend a lot of time in Matthew 5, 6, and 7 over the next several weeks. Beatitudes is... It doesn't make a whole lot of sense, except, you know, it's a Bible word. But it comes from the Latin, beatitudin, which means blessings. So that's why they're the blessings. There's more beatitudes in the Bible. There's some in Luke. In Luke chapter 6, there's a few of them. There's actually some in Revelation, too, unrelated to these, but there's some blessed are they's. In Luke, the ones that are similar, they're slightly different. There's fewer of them, and they also include some woe to you statements, like blessed are you this, and then woe to you when you. And in Matthew, it doesn't have the woe to you part there. And this morning, I'm not going to do a compare and contrast. Could do that in another sermon, but today I just want to walk through the Beatitudes from Matthew. But first, the question that's on your mind is, how do you pronounce it? Is it... No, not Beatitudes. Is it blessed or blessed?
I don't know.
Anyone know? Because you notice, when we sang the song at the beginning, did you notice it was blessed? And then when I read the verses, I said blessed. The correct answer is yes. It's blessed or blessed. Some English dictionaries or English pronunciation guides say if it's an adjective, it's blessed. If it's a verb, it's blessed. But really, both words are acceptable in almost any context, and you kind of go by how does it feel. If it feels more poetic to say blessed, then you say blessed. And if it feels more poetic to say blessed, and sometimes you do say blessed. I am so blessed. It's hard to say I am so blessed, you know. But sometimes blessed is used as more of an interesting modifier of a word, like... I don't remember a blessed thing, right? You've heard that. So you say blessed, you don't say blessed there. But so you can say either one. And so I said blessed, and I may say blessed or blessed during the sermon. And hopefully you're not keeping score between the two, because I'm not trying to keep score. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Poor in spirit. You know what poor in spirit means? Yes? Yeah, what does that mean? It's something different than poor in possessions. It's poor in spirit indicates something like humbleness. It's not really broken down. It's more humbleness. Although it is sort of poor in spirit is sort of the opposite of strong-willed. You know, like they say that a horse's spirit was broken or something like that. But poor in spirit in this, there's a positive connotation to it here. It's instead of seeking your own will, it's seeking God's will or seeking God's way. Poor in spirit say that there is something more than me, and I've got to listen to what God has to say to me in my life. So in Jesus' words, the ones who are the opposite of a strong-willed child with that oppositeness, that's a good word, with that oppositeness directed toward God are the ones who... are the true inhabitants of God's neighborhood. It says the kingdom of God. That's God's neighborhood. And some people call it the shalom of God, the peaceful presence. God here, God all around. They're the ones who truly experience God's neighborhood, God's peace eternal. And it's also the opposite of something that too often we seem to do. I don't think that we do it thinking it's a beatitude, but we often act like blessed are the powerful because they get what they want. Yes, it seems to be the way that things work sometimes. But blessed are the poor in spirit. Then there's, blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. We have experienced our share of mourning over the last several weeks here at Union Congregational Church. And the words of Jesus in this beatitude promise comfort. But there's a difference between this beatitude and the one before it. The first one is, blessed are the poor in spirit, as if that's what you're supposed to do. Be humble before God. Don't be the strong-willed child. Take the opposite of that and direct it in your devotion toward God. But this one is mourning. Be a mournful person? I don't think it's saying that. This is sort of a situation where we mourn because we suffer loss. Some commentators say that they're mourning the evil on the earth, and so it's a good thing that if there's evil on the earth, you'll be mourning that. But it's too close to home. Mourning is mourning. It is sadness at loss, and we have experienced loss in our congregation. And Jesus promises comfort to those who mourn. Nobody wants to mourn, but there's hope in this one that says there is comfort for those who mourn. Yeah. Jesus says that we'll be comforted when we mourn. Right, Karen? We'll be comforted. And that is comforting. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. So meek. In an old episode of The Twilight Zone, there was a meek character who was all of a sudden given power. It was played by Burgess Meredith. Anyone remember this episode of The Twilight Zone? Burgess Meredith is a meek, I forgot his name, Mr. Dingle, or I mean, it was something like that. They made a name that sounded like someone who no one would be friends with, and he was always getting beat up and everything, and he got the powers to do stuff. And when he wasn't meek, he actually turned kind of mean. He abused the power that he had. But meek is not, I don't think it's written here as a negative thing like it was in that episode of The Twilight Zone. Meek is gentle and humble, not self-centered, God-centered instead. And these meek, these humble, God-centered ones are the ones who share in God's rule. And the cool part about this one is that the ones who aren't trying to gain power are the ones who rule. They will be the ones who will be fair, gentle, humble, and God-centered as rulers. It's the opposite of, you know, blessed are the assertive because they're not afraid to ask for what's coming to them. Or ask what they think is coming to them. Blessed are the meek. It's a positive thing to be, the meek. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Here's another one that involves attitude. I like the ones that have a positive thing here. And it's one that God wants. God wants this hunger and thirst for righteousness. Have a desire for what God wants. Pursue what God wants. You will be nourished to the full. This beatitude is the opposite of something like, blessed are the ones who talk with religious words, because we all know that actions don't really matter, right? This is, blessed are those who truly hunger and thirst for righteousness. Blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. Have you ever said something that somebody took in the wrong way and they were very angry at you? I am sure I have done this. So this advice that I give to brides and grooms when I'm talking to them usually is, all right, look at each other now. Remember that at some point in your relationship, you're going to say something that can be taken one of two ways. And to the other person, take it in the most positive way, because that's probably what they mean. And try not to have any conflict in your relationship based on a misunderstanding of how it was said. Have mercy on your partner for the mistakes that they will make. Marriage is no bed of roses, and we don't need to make it even harder, do we? If I've ever said anything to you that could be taken in two ways, please take it in the most positive way. For all of us, accept the apology. Forgive even when there isn't an apology. Give folks a break. I think that's what it means. Blessed are the merciful. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. And this one is a lot like the ones who hunger and thirst for righteousness. They seek God. They show loving kindness. They do what they can to follow what God wants. It has nothing to do with talking religious talk, but rejecting God's children because you think you're better than they are. It has everything to do with being pure in heart, not judging someone else's pureness of heart, but truly seeking God. Because you're the one who gets to do what you do, right? I'm the one that gets to do what I do. My job is to seek to be pure in heart. Blessed are the pure in heart. Anyone keeping score? I just said blessed. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. You know, this beatitude, I talked about it during the children's sermon. It's not just about peace instead of war. I think it is about peace instead of war, but it's about more than that. It's about reconciliation. It's about restoration. It's about friendship. It's about love. Peace is not only the absence of violence. It's the presence of goodwill, true goodwill toward all. It's like when you forgive someone, if you're still holding the grudge, it's not really forgiveness. It's not really a peaceful situation. But if you truly forgive someone and you wish them well, that's peace. That's forgiveness. It's being a peacemaker. Our planet is in the midst of upheaval. Not from everywhere, but we had things going on in Tunisia. And now we have protests going on in Egypt. And there is violence in these protests. And everyone is calling for calm and peace. But violence seems to erupt because when someone draws a line in the sand, someone dares to cross it and it just keeps escalating. And regardless of where this goes, in Egypt, there are people that want to have better economic opportunity. That's kind of the underlying factor there. But people are afraid about other things that could happen. In Tunisia, people wanted to have not a dictator ruling, but democratic rule. Other places on the globe are simmering. And I fear that there will be more protests and possible violence. I don't have the answer for how to make it so that nobody fights or that nobody has violent protests. But we can pray and we can reach out and we can find ways to be peaceful with one another and to be examples with one another of how peaceful disagreement can happen, of how peaceful arguments even can happen. And that we don't need to resort to violence to get our message across. And that hopefully no one has to resort to violence to get their message across. We pray for peace, especially for those who are going through such disturbing times right now with upheaval and protest that too often turns violent. Blessed are the peacemakers. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And blessed are you when people revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. These last Beatitudes, they go back to a situation kind of like the morning one, where it's not a situation someone would want to be in. Who wants to be reviled and persecuted and lied about? Anyone? No. No one does. But these Beatitudes here, they offer hope to any who are persecuted because they're humble, because they're meek, seeking God, merciful, or peacemakers. These Beatitudes offer hope to those who show love instead of hate, show kindness instead of disdain, show acceptance instead of rejection for God's children and a willingness to seek God's way no matter what. There is hope when bad things are happening because you're doing what God calls you to do. Now there's a tougher part. How do you know you're doing what God wants? How do we know who's in the right in different protests and in actions like that? We don't know for sure what's going on. But we can pray to be kind and humble and meek and loving. And those who are peacemakers. If we could only really live these Beatitudes, well, we can. It's our calling. It's written right here. It's words from Jesus that transcend time. They really do here. It is our calling. My brothers and sisters, be blessed. Or blessed. Let's pray. Thank you, God, for your teaching, Jesus' words. Help us to truly live these Beatitudes. In Jesus' name, amen.